Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A massive explosion in Arlington, Virginia. Police say a home blew up, sending flaming debris into the sky when officers tried to serve a search warrant after complaints about someone firing a flare gun inside. This man lives nearby.
Well, I was sitting in my living room watching television, and the whole house shook from the sound concussion. It wasn't an earthquake kind of tremor, but the whole house shook.
There's no word on the fate of the man who'd barricaded himself inside. None of the officers was seriously injured. A World Health Organization official says the situation is getting worse by the hour in southern Gaza as Israeli forces intensify bombings aimed at wiping out Hamas operatives. The BBC's Yoland Nell from Jerusalem.
We're really expecting Khan Yunis to be a big focus of Israeli military operations in the days ahead. It said it's going aggressively after Hamas and other armed factions. And it does believe that Hamas officials, senior Hamas officials, are in underground tunnels in Khan Yunis, are hiding out there. There is a big concentration of Hamas fighters in that part of the south.
Here in the U.S., Attorney General Merrick Garland says he'll use the full force of the Justice Department against Victor Manuel Rocha, a former ambassador to Bolivia, now accused of spying for Cuba for four decades.
Those who have the privilege of serving in the government of the United States are given an enormous amount of trust by the public we serve.
Prosecutors say they got a tip Rocha was two-timing and assigned an undercover FBI agent to pose as a Cuban foreign agent who contacted Rocha on WhatsApp. Officials in the Bahamas say a tourist from Boston was killed by a shark that bit her while she was paddleboarding less than a mile off New Providence Island. Sergeant Desiree Ferguson with the Royal Police Force.
CPR was administered to the victim. However, she suffered serious injuries to the right side of her body.
Police in Philadelphia say a security guard at Macy's was stabbed to death after he stopped someone who tried to steal hats from the store. Interim Police Commissioner John Stanford says the suspect left the store but returned with a knife.
This started as a retail theft. Upgraded, obviously, to a robbery, and then led ultimately to a homicide.
Another guard was injured. At the top of Forbes' list of most powerful women of 2023...
The European Union has peaked already.
EU Commission President Ursula von der Leyen. Number two, Christine Lagarde, who heads the European Central Bank. Kamala Harris is third. Taylor Swift, number five. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and...
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Senate's new top Democrat says her goal is to make sure every member of her party has a voice in the legislature. Democrats elected Senator Dianne Hesselbein as their new minority leader Friday. She replaces Melissa Agard, who's running for Dane County Executive. Hesselbein is from Middleton. Service workers at Lambeau Field overwhelmingly voted to form a union. Over 80% of those who voted Sunday voted in favor of unionization. They're looking to join the Milwaukee Area Service and Hospitality Workers Union, which also includes workers at the Fiserv Forum in the Deer District in Milwaukee. Officials with both the Packers and Delaware North, the company that employs vendors at Lambeau Field, say they will negotiate with workers in good faith and hope to quickly ratify their first contract. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
It's the Bucks and the Knicks in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks and the New York Knicks in what's called the knockout round of the NBA in-season tournament at Fiserv Forum. The Bucks' Damian Lillard.
You know, I think we've learned more and more about it as it's going on, and we've taken more pride in it each game. Against the team that we beat in the last one. You know, I thought we played a pretty solid game against them. You know, we're improving. So one game, and then, you know, it's... we off to Vegas.
Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers have entered the AP's top 25, ranked 23rd after beating Marquette over the weekend in Madison. Marquette dropped five spots from 3rd to 8th after losing to the Badgers. NFL, the Packers' Christian Watson had seven catches and scored two touchdowns in that win over the Chiefs Sunday night, but he also had to leave the game with another hamstring injury. Matt LaFleur.
Does Christian's hamstring look like it's anywhere near as severe as the one?
We do not know yet. We're waiting till tomorrow and should have a better indication of where he's at.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Chance for scattered snow showers today, otherwise cloudy. Highs around 38, north winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. 27 tonight, overcast. High of 36 tomorrow. A dusting of snow today. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's Tuesday, December 5th, and it's another beautiful day to have you here up north from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or on the Civic Media app, or by podcast, or by social media. Nice to have you here. I got a question for you. Do you know what the new number one song in the country is based on the Billboard Hot 100? Well, regular commenter Roger tipped me off just moments ago, and we're going to save the answer till Melissa Kay is here during our weekly or our daily history lesson. I'm just going to say the new number one song was recorded and released 65 years ago. It must be the holiday season. Hey, how are things by you winter-wise? Lake Wissota here is now officially not just frozen over, but it's got a light dusting of snow on it as well. So it is beginning to look a lot like Christmas. And no, that's not the answer to what the new number one song is. That was just what you'd call a head fake. From our home base here at 93.5 The Tap on Chippewa Falls, here's what's on tap for this morning. Fellow Republicans are pushing back on Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who has been holding hostage the pay raises for thousands of UW system employees just because of his own personal peeve that the university is working to bolster racial justice. Also, there are a couple of potential challengers to U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin. We don't know for sure yet. What we do know is they're going to have a tough time forging bonds with voters, since most voters don't have tax liabilities of seven figures. Imagine writing a seven-figure check to the IRS. There's also a new Republican proposal to eliminate the Wisconsin Elections Commission. We'll talk to Christina Laurie with The Uplift, some of the uplifting stories you find in our daily newsletter. Sign up over at upnorthnewswi.com. In our second hour, we'll talk about the Hot Stove League for farmers. If you're not baseball savvy, Hot Stove League is kind of one of those idioms that describes the off-season where people gather around a hot stove on cold days and review the past season, make plans for the new one. In much the same way, farmers are doing that with the just completed harvest, and then they'll gather this weekend, many of them, for the Wisconsin Farmers Union annual convention. Hans Breitenmoser will be our hot stove commissioner this morning and tell us what to expect. We'll check in with Chad Holmes from Bull Falls Radio as well up in Wausau. And let's see, we'll get the weatherology forecast. And along the way, if you'd like to join us, our phone number is 844-967-967. 2789. Again, 844-967-2789. Stop me if you've heard this before. No, don't, because I'm going to say it anyway. You can also text your comments to that number, and you can do so on your phone or through an app on your phone. And the Civic Media app is really going to come in handy tonight for certain sports fans. I'm going to tell you about that in just a bit. First, a reminder, send us an email if you like, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And if you'd like to watch the live video feed, we're on the Up North News Facebook page, the Civic Media Facebook page. You can leave comments there, and we would see them and pass them along. We've got kind of a Groundhog Day theme going with the temperatures this morning. They are quite identical to this time yesterday. It's 31 up here on Lake Wissota. Hayward is at 30 degrees. Park Falls, 28. Wausau clocking in at 30 degrees. Green Bay is at 32. La Crosse, 34. Wisconsin Rapids is 32 right now. Oshkosh, 33. Madison, 31. And Waukesha at 32 degrees. Waukesha, by the way, is where we find one Greg Bach hanging out for us this morning. Mr. Bach, good morning.
You found me. I'm like an Easter egg.
Worst hiding job ever.
Well, you know.
How are things down there?
They're dark. I'm looking out the window right now. It's still dark out.
Okay, you're not like in a bad mood or something. You're not saying.
Pat, it's so dark inside. No, it's. I honestly, I didn't even put my jacket on when I got in the car this morning because I'm like, you know what? I'm going to Just drive in 32 degree weather,
which we're now at the time of year where we're like, hey, that doesn't feel too bad. You know, everybody's got their number depending on their comfort and their jacket. Yeah. And, you know, it's like, okay, it's above 30. I don't need to wear the winter coat. I just need to bring it in the car with me.
Cause
that's where mine is.
Cause those temperatures are going to drop.
Oh, yes, they are. That's just a guarantee, but it's like, my wonderful wife always reminds me. Every day, we are one day closer to spring. So we got that.
I love Dr. Kreitlow.
I know. She's just a ray of sunshine.
She is.
There is a brand new show on Civic Media, and it premiered last night. I didn't catch it. I'm going to have to catch the new program, Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. I am very intrigued by this. It's going to be airing weekdays from 8 to 10. And now, of course, up here in Chippewa Falls, I still haven't met everybody face to face. So I don't know if you and Pete you work together at all or okay. It says here, Pete is a comedian, writer, and director of movies. He's made several appearances on HBO, Comedy Central, TBS, A&E. He's actually written some movies, been in some sketch shows. And so he has a new entertainment and music show that we'll have on in the evenings here. So you want to catch that on stations all across the Civic Media Radio Network. Head over to civicmedia.us if you want to learn more. So, which I'm hoping that we can catch that as a podcast too, just because we're getting into my bedtime hours. I don't know when you wrap things up over there, but
try to be in bed by 8:30 now. Asleep by 9, that does not always the case, but I'm making the noble effort. That's nice.
Yep. It's you have to. It's self-defense.
Yeah.
At this point in time. So catch that show as well. Also over at upnorthnewswi.com, all kinds of stories there, including one that I posted recently about Diane Hesselbein being selected as the new state Senate Democratic leader and which congressional Republicans, in case you missed it on the radio show yesterday, actually voted to keep George Santos, voted to save him. Now, it didn't work. More than 100 Republicans in the House of Representatives voted along with Democrats to kick George Santos out for being a fraud, a grifter, lying to voters, embezzling campaign funds. But four members of the Wisconsin Republican delegation said, nah, we're good. Keep him in here. So we've got an article there with more, including reaction from Mike Gallagher about why in the world he would vote to save George Santos. But he was one of them, along with Tom Tiffany and Scott Fitzgerald and Derek Van Orden, of all folks. So look for that over at upnorthnewswi.com, along with all the other stories that we do, news stories, feature stories along the way. All right, at 6:14, let's unpack the news here. And we'll mention first the fact that some Republican legislators, including the leader of the Republicans in the Wisconsin State Senate, are not all that thrilled to go along with the leader of the Wisconsin Assembly, Robin Voss, in his continued blocking of pay raises for University of Wisconsin system employees.
that has something that's been going on since October. Again, the pay raises are in the budget. They're paid for. They've been approved. But Robin Voss is blocking them because he doesn't like that the UW system has positions and offices for diversity, equity, and inclusion. Just like much of corporate America. But for Robin Voss, racial justice is apparently a bridge too far. And so he is blocking millions in pay raises for thousands of employees. But Senate Republican leader Devin Lemieux said on Monday he opposes withholding the money. He said he understands where the speaker is coming from, but a lot of employees who work at the UW have no control over the DEI protocol and all that stuff, Lemieux said with Wisconsin Eye. He said he's been talking to Voss about the issue and hopes to see the pay raises passed sooner rather than later. And I'm sure that if you were to ask maybe your own hometown legislator, if you're represented by a Republican in your district, chances are they might tell you the same thing, that they don't think it's just right. They think that Voss is playing hardball and picking, again, a weird hill to die on when it comes to the university system, simply wanting to encourage, you know, a more diverse and inclusive world out there. But again, that's Robin Voss's personal cause, and he's got the power to do that. And so he continues to block those raises, at least for right now. There is a new Republican proposal that would abolish the Wisconsin Elections Commission and give those duties to the Secretary of State. This is coming with the approval of the chair of the Senate Elections Committee. It's the proposal was released by Senate Elections Committee Chair Dan Knodel and about 10 Assembly Republicans. It's a move to overhaul election administration ahead of the 2024 presidential election. And now, obviously, this would require the current Democratic Secretary of State, Sarah Godlewski, to take over election administration duties. And certainly that's not what the Republicans are looking to do. What they're looking to do is eventually win back that Secretary of State's office. And then one Republican would have the control that currently is split among a commission with three Democrats and three Republicans. It's something that Republicans tried in numerous states last year, and it failed in just about every one of them. Let's check some sports at 6:17 here. Baseball, a little hot stove league action, as it turns out. The Milwaukee Brewers and their top prospect, 19-year-old outfielder Jack Centurio, have finalized an 8-year deal, $82 million. That is the most money ever guaranteed to a player with no big league experience. Centurio has played only 6 games above Double-A, but he could end up on the big league roster to start the 2024 season. He's definitely put up the numbers. He definitely has the talent. But give a listen to the new Brewers manager, Pat Murphy, about his admiration for Churio, but he also had some very clear instructions to him.
How do I view it?
Yeah.
Like, everybody's got to earn it. You know, like, he's no different than anybody else. I told him today, you're number 94 to me. And he's always worn number 94 in the thing. You want that number 11, you got to earn it. And I'll hang that number 11 in my office, and he can look at it every day if he wants, but he's going to wear 94 until he earns that.
So good on him, good on Pat Murphy, because Churio wore number 11 at the news conference, and Churio did acknowledge that there's some pressure, but he did say through a translator, he's from Venezuela, he says, the money's not going to change me. If something changes, it definitely will be for the better. Well, Jackson, you and I both hope that is the case. We'll continue unpacking the news in just a sec here, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Tuesday morning. When you're here, you're up north. Back in a bit.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
There's a new attitude surrounding Carroll University basketball this year as Taylor Jansen leads the men through his first full season as head coach. The Pioneers are celebrating all the wins, and you can catch all the action of every home game right here. Don't miss a moment as Don Brown takes you from tip-off through all the game excitement on The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, and the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Shaw, W-A-U-K, K, K, K.
Like this. Little this could be.
We'll be talking about that live Beach Boys album coming up in today's History Lesson about a half hour from now. A couple of other sports notes at 6:20. The Brewers also agreed to a new contract with left-handed pitcher Wade Miley, an $8.5 million deal, a one-year contract with a mutual option for the 2025 season. The Bucks are hosting the New York Knicks tonight at 6:30 in the in-season tournament quarterfinals. If they win, the Bucks will advance to the Final Four in Vegas later this week to play for the NBA Cup. Meanwhile, the Badger men's basketball team is at Michigan State tonight. And so you've got the Bucks game tonight at 6:30. The Badgers Michigan State, I believe, is at 7. Where can you find all these games? Well, across the Civic Media Radio Network, the Bucks games will be on Oshkosh Air Support, WRJN in Racine, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. The Badger men's basketball game at Michigan State can be heard on locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, News from the Center in Richland Center, and Lake Air in Amory. So here is where the Civic Media app really comes in handy. Now, the Bucks games are not on the app, but the Badger games are on the app. So if you'd like to listen to the Badgers, but you're not in Wisconsin Rapids or Richland Center or Amory, just pull up the Civic Media app, select any one of those three stations there, locally grown radio, News from the Center in Richland Center, Lake Air in Amory, and you can listen to the Badger game right there on the app. So get the app. And the Marquette men's basketball team is hosting Texas tomorrow at the Fiserv Forum. So that gets you caught up on what's happening in the world of sports. Now back over to some of the news that we've been unpacking on this Tuesday morning. We mentioned right before the break that there is a new Republican proposal that would abolish the Wisconsin Elections Commission as Republicans continue to tarnish the commission, which they created themselves several years ago when they abolished a much stronger election oversight board. Now they want to tear down the weak substitute that they put in its place. They continue targeting Wisconsin Elections Commissioner Megan, Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf, I should say, somebody nationally regarded for running safe and secure elections in Wisconsin. But Republicans are in court as well. They've been seeking to get a judge to order the State Elections Commission to appoint a new administrator. Well, now a group of Wisconsin business leaders has filed a friend of the court brief pushing on Megan Wolf's behalf to tell the court to leave her alone and leave the Elections Commission alone. The group is called Wisconsin Business Leaders for Democracy. They started in the aftermath of the 2020 election, again, to be a business voice speaking on behalf of free and fair elections rather than, you know, interference in those elections. And in a 26-page brief, they don't mince words in talking about the threat to election security and the basically how tough it would be to find a new administrator if the courts were to begin to interfere in this process. I wanted to find the excerpt here. Oh, the brief here from Wisconsin Business Leaders for Democracy said that such an order, quote, would inevitably throw gasoline onto the flames of extreme partisanship and cast doubt on the ability of the Wisconsin Elections Commission to install a professional, experienced, and nonpartisan new administrator in time for the 2024 election cycle. They are blasting Republican legislators for what the group said are objectively baseless and hyper-partisan attacks on Wolf. The group describes itself as a bipartisan association of business leaders in Wisconsin dedicated to helping ensure equitable access to voting, nonpartisan, transparent election policy and administration, and unbiased representation. And frankly, that's what we need more of, is people who you might say are coming down from one side of the aisle or the other, standing up for democracy, because that's what's got to come first. By the way, to that end, I did not see this last night. I saw like the last 60 seconds of Rachel Maddow. She's got just a weekly show now on MSNBC. And there she's sitting with Liz Cheney. And again, I just caught the very end where Rachel Maddow says, I know obviously this is not a comfortable thing for you, not just being a maverick Republican standing up to Trump, but sitting there on MSNBC with Rachel Maddow. But she said to Liz Cheney, and Liz Cheney agreed, they want to get back to fighting with each other, fighting over policy matters. You know, should a tax cut be this big or that big? Should we spend this much on schools or this much on schools? Not whether, you know, we should have democracy, free and fair elections, whether, you know, one person leading a cult of personality can, you know, trash nearly 250 years of American democracy. And again, it's a depressingly small number of elected Republicans who are willing to stand up for democracy. I continue to believe that most voters who lean Republican, when push comes to shove, will say that what Trump stands for in terms of autocratic rule is not what I stand for. I mean, witness how Trump lost the 2020 election. He also didn't get more votes in the 2016 election. He won in the Electoral College, not by popular support. But that's not something we can take for granted anymore. And so for people to speak out, whether it's Wisconsin business groups or Liz Cheney or anybody, is frankly an admirable thing. We need more people in office who can relate to what everyday families in Wisconsin are going through. I don't know that you can really say that about the two businessmen who are potential challengers to Republican, who are potential Republican challengers to Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin. Because in both cases, according to a story in WisPolitics, both Eric Hovde and Scott Meyer, both eyeing to run as Republicans, have had seven-figure state tax bills in 2021. I mean, imagine everybody who's had to write a check out to the IRS. Imagine writing a check to the IRS for seven figures. That's a big income if that's what you're doing. Meanwhile, Baldwin has had an average state income tax liability over the past 10 years of $8,400. Now, this one businessman, Scott, it's either Mayer or Meyer, forgive me, it's M-A-Y-E-R, so I should be saying Mayer, I guess, for now. He told WisPolitics he relies on his accountants to handle the taxes and wasn't sure why he had zero state tax liability in 2020, but then zoomed to $1.8 million in 2021. He said something along the lines of, I don't really want to call my accountant because they would just bill me for time, he said. The only thing I require of my accounting people is to keep me out of prison. I want to pay my taxes that I properly owe. If there are taxes or not taxes, it's based on my income and tax laws. They know to do it right. I won't ever get into any trouble, and I won't ever do anything that's not up to code. To which I ask, how can he be sure? If that's the level of his income and the volatility of his tax liability, how do you explain that and how do you connect that to the everyday voters all across Wisconsin, whether he or Eric Hovde plan to run? On the other side of this little pause, we will bring in Christina Lori. She puts together the Up North News Daily newsletter and shares some of the upcoming and past stories that she's been working on. You're Up North. Back in a bit. You don't know.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. The earth shook in Arlington, Virginia when a house exploded last night.
Police say officers were trying to execute a search warrant after complaints about someone firing a flare gun inside. CBS's Chanel Call.
The fire declared under control by late Monday night, but officials have not yet determined what sparked the fiery blast. The suspect's identity has not been released, and it's unclear if he's still alive.
In southern Gaza, chaos at a hospital in Khan Yunis, where Israeli forces have escalated efforts to wipe out Hamas. A former U.S. ambassador to Bolivia has been arrested on charges of spying for Cuba for four decades. Attorney General Merrick Garland.
Falsely pledging loyalty to the United States while serving a foreign power is a crime that will be met with the full force of the Justice Department.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A group of GOP lawmakers are looking to dissolve the state's election commission ahead of next year's presidential election. The bill was released by Republican Representative Dan Knodel and 10 other representatives. Under the bill, the Wisconsin Elections Commission would dissolve and all elections-related duties would go to the Secretary of State. The Republican-led legislature would then have final say over any election issue made by the Secretary of State. If passed by the legislature, it is almost certain to be vetoed by Governor Evers. Airports around Wisconsin are getting money for safety and infrastructure upgrades. The Federal Aviation Administration is giving out $38 million in airport improvement grants. The money will upgrade runways, terminals, and roads. There are also plans for sustainability projects. The grants are part of a growing list of Wisconsin projects as part of the bipartisan infrastructure law. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Timeout.
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Chance for scattered snow showers today, otherwise cloudy. Highs around 38, north winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. 27 tonight, overcast. High of 36 tomorrow. A dusting of snow today. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 30 degrees.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and even diamonds. That's right. Robert Hack Diamonds wants to make you an offer on your gold, silver, and diamonds. The process is very simple. No appointment needed. Just come on in, sit down in a nice, relaxed atmosphere, and the staff of Robert Hack Diamonds will evaluate your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds and make you an offer on the spot. Then you can decide if you want a deal or no deal. Robert Hack Diamonds can also convert your old jewelry into something new or trade in your outdated pieces for something new and exciting. Many people inherit jewelry that might not be your taste, but you are sentimental. Why not have Robert Hack Diamonds take the golden gems and create something for you? So many options at Robert Hack Diamonds. Again, Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds. See them in Brookfield just east of Moreland on Greenland Avenue or 76 in Layton, right on the corner in Greenfield. RobertHackDiamonds.com.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK, UK, 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 UK.
UK.
it is time for the Uplift. Christina Laurie joins us. She writes our daily newsletter at Up North News. Sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. Christina, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Pat?
Very good, thanks. Good to get connected again after the Thanksgiving break. And now we're running headlong into December here, which also means we're coming up on the 4-year anniversary of starting Up North News. And a big part of that dealt with the concept of news deserts. And you wrote a little something about that in a recent newsletter. Tell us about it.
I did. And I know it's kind of like preaching to the choir here, because if you're listening to Pat's radio show, you probably also see the problem that a lot of people are overlooking, that there are so many newspapers that are disappearing. There are local TV stations that are cutting down or maybe even combining newsrooms. Since 2005, get this, Pat, more than 2,500 newspapers across America have closed. And the major ones, the New York Times, the Chicago Tribune, many of their circulations have not just been cut in half, but in a quarter over the past 50 years. So there are big problems here in Wisconsin, too. One example, up in the Northwoods, Rhinelander's local paper used to print a new edition every day. Now it's just twice a week. Commercial radio stations, they're not omitted from this as well. They've eliminated their local news cut-ins. So you're just getting access to less news. The major problem with that is that people are turning elsewhere to get their news, and they're going to biased sources. They're going off of their friends' social media pages. So I actually just pressed publish on this about an hour ago. Up on our website, you can find an interactive map to find out if you live in a news desert. There are an increasing number across Wisconsin. And then we also answer the question in that same article of what's the fix. But right now, there are a few things that you can do. We have an ongoing fundraising campaign right now, and I hate asking people for money, but it is really important to support local newsrooms, whether it's ours or someone else, but just supporting your local journalists, because we're the ones that are trying to get information that you aren't going to see on the Today Show or the Nightly News.
Christina, it's just a different world than when you and I were first breaking into local TV, and it was really just about, you know, local sales, local commercials. It takes all kinds of funding mechanisms to fund news operations now. Some places have very large underwriters or mid-size underwriters, but it also takes that local support from viewers or readers or listeners, as the case may be. In our case, people will still, along with donating through the website, they'll send a check and a nice note to P.O. Box 27, Chippewa Falls 54729, and we forward that on to the parent company. And again, not to make the whole thing sound like, you know, one big pledge drive, but we do want to express our appreciation, because these news deserts are serious things. Some of us really want to help fill them, but it really does take a collaborative, supportive effort to make that happen.
You're exactly right. And again, like I said before, I'm always just hesitant to ask people for money. It seems kind of against what we're always taught in journalism, because, you know, we're supposed to be providing the news, not necessarily collecting the money. But I do just want to put a fine point on this, that our newsletter, what we send out for free every single day, will continue to be free. It will always be free. We want to serve you. So there's no pressure to donate to us. We know it's a hard time, especially around the holidays. You're spending money on a lot of things, but if you do have a couple extra bucks to throw our way, it will really help us out.
It really does. To bring state-based news like this, like I said, there's 7,000 TV channels out there, no shortage of national media, but to get a true state and local-based journalism is going to take more than just a basic subscription. It takes support like that we appreciate from everybody. So getting back to some of the other feature stories about Wisconsin that we've been working on, it has been Native American Heritage Month. And while a lot of tribal powwows are done for the year because of it being the Heritage Month that it is, I thought it was quite appropriate that you put up a story basically about powwows 101 so that people do think about going to one of these events or more next year.
And in case you don't know, because I didn't know, I've heard the term powwow so many times, but if somebody had asked me last week to define it for them, I don't know that I would have been able to do that acceptably. So a powwow is the Native American term for basically a social gathering, a type of party, a family, community-based event. It's usually filled with drum performances, dances, and then they perform some of their traditional songs. Most tribes host powwows annually, just once a year, but different tribes host them at different times. And since there are 11 different federally recognized tribes here in Wisconsin, you can find almost one a month spaced out. We have a link on our website where you can search for a powwow near you, but Travel Wisconsin is another great guide for this. They map out all the different tribes, tell you, they have an easy search tool where you can just enter your location and a date to find the next powwow near you. And if you hear of one, I know you may feel out of place pulling up if you've never been, don't know what to expect. But if a powwow is publicized, it's because the tribe wants you there and they want to include you. They're going to welcome you. So basically, the rule of thumb from the tribe members I talked to was consider yourself invited. Everyone who's listening to this, you have an open invitation. They've saved you a seat. And just one other tip, if you do go, although they've saved you a metaphorical seat, you might want to bring a folding chair because some of them do get busy. Some of them are longer and they might also include food. So it's nice to sit down unless you want to stand the whole time.
Yeah. And over at the Wisconsin Historical Society website, wisconsinhistory.org, I was looking through some of the posters from this year's powwows. And again, some of the things that, I mean, over this past year, they were held at Lac des Flambeaux, Oneida, Red Cliff, where else? Hayward, Nina, Rothschild. And so, yeah, use our link to find out more information, find out a bit about the etiquette and the expectations, and then go and enjoy yourself. It could be part of a road trip that you do. And we're going to end with a road trip through what you found, something called the Great Wisconsin Cheese Trail. What's that about?
Yes. So just let's get down to the stats. Wisconsin has 11,000 farms, 1.3 million cows, and alone, as just one of 50 states, we produce 25% of the country's total dairy supply. So our cheese industry is no secret, but what was until I uncovered it is something called the Great Wisconsin Cheese Trail. So it's a winding 200-mile loop that takes you to 14 of the state's best cheese shops. Who knew that they were all within that same 200-mile span? It'll take you to, it starts in Arena at Arena Cheese, which is known as the home of Colby and Kojak Cheese, which are both 10-time winners at U.S. and World Cheese competitions. Then it'll take you to Hook's Cheese, which if you have not had their 12-year aged cheddar, that was on my family's Thanksgiving charcuterie board, it is to die for.
It is.
A fun game to play is to... Yeah. Well, a fun game is to pick up. I was in charge of the charcuterie board. My family lives in Illinois. So as the only Wisconsinite, I felt like it was my duty. I brought the 2-year cheddar, the 5-year cheddar, the 10 and the 12. And I put together a little tasting contest where people had to guess which one was the oldest and which one was the youngest. Nice. It's harder than you think, apparently, for people who in Illinois who aren't as cultured with cheese.
Oh, I'm not but, surprised.
Yeah, okay. Keep your negative Illinois commentary to a minimum, Pat.
Okay.
We don't need any slander. Mm-hmm. Then there's also Brunkow Cheese in Darlington. There's a few places in Darlington. That's where Mont Chevrolet Cheese is, too, and that stuff is delicious. Then it swings through Schulzberg, Monroe. There are a bunch of places in Monroe. That's where Chalet Cheese is, Baumgartner, for if you want the stinkiest sandwich. Have you ever tried Limburger Cheese, Pat?
No. No need. I'll take people at their word. If you like it, you like it.
I know. Are you a blue cheese fan?
I wasn't, but I am now. That's something I warmed up to later in life. Same goes for Gouda. I thought that was a little too pungent once upon a time, and now I absolutely can't get enough of it. So who's to say down the road what cheese will be a favorite of mine?
I know. I was going to say, if you've already dappled into blue, Limburger is the next natural step.
It wouldn't surprise me. Let's get one more thing straight on this Wisconsin cheese trail, okay? Because yeah. I can tell this from the comments as well. You're not going to have a Wisconsin cheese trail that encompasses the entire state of Wisconsin, because again, this is Wisconsin. We are one great big cheese trail. This is one loop that you can take in one part of Wisconsin. Of course, we can set up others that hit, you know, Thorpe and Cadott and Ellsworth and, you know, Carr Valley and all of the others that are out there. So look at this one. And then if you go to the post, put some other suggestions in there. Be nice about it. Put some other suggestions in there saying, hey, these are the ones you should put on your next Wisconsin cheese trail loop.
Well, and here in Wisconsin, that's a great point. I mean, you could go up to Door County alone. If you're up in Fish Creek, walk down their main street, hit up five of their local shops that are all selling different types of cheese and make your own day out of it. You don't necessarily have to hit up the best and the biggest. Some of those hidden gems are truly could be the best. They just don't produce as much cheese, so they don't get as much publicity. But I thank you for saying that, Pat, because I think we can't mention it enough that our name, we get it. It's confusing. Up north, people love to say, why are you covering Madison and Milwaukee? But up north technically refers to our state's position within the continental United States, which would be up north.
We are America's up north, and we cover all things Wisconsin. And you see that in Christina's newsletter and on our social media posts again. And now I'm starting to wonder if I need to go try Limburger. So I'm going to go consider this for a bit. Christina Lurie, thank you so much as always. Have a great day.
You as well. And if you do try it, report back.
Will do. Where are you, Greg, on Limburger and other stinky cheeses?
I've never had Limburger. Yeah, growing up, it was always the stinky cheese, but I'd give it a shot. I mean, it's cheese.
I guess I would now, because like I said, I did not think I would like blue cheese or Gouda, and now I love them both. So, you know, I guess I shouldn't be so quick to judge.
One cheese I just can't get down on unless it's on the right sandwich, Swiss cheese.
Yes. Again, that's another one where it's like, I would not even touch it before now. I like, say a chicken bacon Swiss sandwich, you know,
Reuben.
Because that's corned what? Beef, right?
What?
And corned beef I've not warmed up to yet.
What?
I know.
What?
Have you always been a corned beef and Reuben lover?
Honestly, no, because I used to have a real big thing against sauerkraut.
Oh, okay. Yeah, see, another one of those things that maybe as a kid you turn your nose up at and go, ew, yeah, sour.
It was sour and it smelled weird. And I always told my mom, this looks like shredded sweat sock. Why are we? And she's like, it's German food. I'm like, don't act like we celebrate our culture that big. Don't use that as a defense.
I have to admit that, during my early adult years, when I'd have brats, I just put ketchup on it.
What's wrong with that?
Well, compared to, you really should have sauerkraut on there instead. That's, yeah.
But do what you want. I that's the thing is, I now love the crunch of it. You throw it on a hot dog or a brat or what, a sandwich, just that crunchiness. Give me some sauerkraut.
So long as it is a real Wisconsin brat. And I know I've mentioned this once before, but there are these white ones that they serve at Target Field and other places in Minnesota. I don't know that I've seen it. And I don't know the difference. I just know they have they taste as bland as they look. And I'm not looking for chorizo here. You don't have to, dump the crushed red pepper in there, but
yeah.
I mean, I want at least some flavor. And I don't know that I've ever had a bad brat made in Wisconsin, but again, much like an old fashioned, once you get out of the state, man, you're on your own.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Beware.
I told you the story about having an old fashioned in Canada and it was fine. They were like, what's a brandy old fashioned? I'm like, get out of my face.
There's a surprising number of places where, yeah, you will not find brandy behind the bar.
Yeah, and they look at you like you're an idiot.
Yeah. They're like, oh, do you want some Courvoisier too? Or here's your snifter.
Yes, like, I do.
Just give me an old fashioned. Let's pause here. Take a look at today's history lesson. Hopefully joined by Melissa Kay next. You're up north. All right, with me.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Snow brings thoughts of ways to stay busy in Wisconsin during the winter. And if you anticipate hitting the slopes, are you surprised to learn there are more than 36 ski resorts across the state? It ranges from Wilmot Mountain, which opened in 1938 in Kenosha County, to Mount La Crosse Ski Area with one of the longest runs in Wisconsin. Granite Peak offers 58 runs outside Wausau, and Wild Mountain Ski Area and its seven lifts near Hayward. Now, do you know which of those resorts sits on the highest slope? The answer coming up. Recreational skiing started in the Midwest. The Lost Ski Areas Project reports the first documentation of actual downhill skiers happened in Beloit in 1841. So which resort sits on the highest slope today? It's Granite Peak near Wausau and boasts 400 acres at a 700-foot vertical drop. The fun and history of skiing is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
We'd like to say very proudly that because of people like you, this next song we're going to sing sold over a million copies for us. It was number one in the nation.
Round, round, get around.
That would be the Beach Boys off of their Beach Boys concert album, which became the number one album on this day, December 8th, 1964, and would be the number one album for 4 weeks, closing out the rest of the calendar year. We'll play a little bit more from that a little bit later on. I don't know that I've ever heard excerpts from this album until I was starting to look around for Today in History.
Just listen, like those fans are like waves of just like ocean.
I know. It's that screaming that started earlier that year with the Beatles on Ed Sullivan. And now they're screaming for the Beach Boys, and they'd be screaming for the Rolling Stones. And it was, again, just a sea change from where America was, just months earlier with the Kennedy assassination. It was like the Beatles and the Beach Boys and the others were cathartic kind of thing, kind of the nation maybe needed. Let's see. Birthdays today. Well, we have Walt Disney was born this day in 1901, passed away in 1966. And Richard Wayne Penniman, Little Richard, born this day in 1932. Again, Little Richard, born this day in 1932. He passed away 3 years ago. That was followed 1 year later on this day by the ratification of the 21st Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which repealed Prohibition.
And
it's...
Yeah baby!
Acting Secretary of State William Phillips certified the amendment as having been passed by the required three-fourths of the states a mere 17 minutes after the Utah convention passed it. Utah was the 36th state to ratify it and put it into play and repeal the 18th Amendment with Prohibition. By the way, Utah, the 36th state? Where was Wisconsin on that list of 36, you may ask? Maybe it wasn't on the list at all. Maybe it wasn't one of the states to call for liquor to be made legal again. Yeah, right. We were second in April. Only Michigan beat us by a few days in passing the 21st Amendment to the Constitution. And I love this quote from newly inaugurated President Franklin Roosevelt. He issued a proclamation that said, "I trust in the good sense of the American people that they will not bring it upon themselves the curse of excessive use of intoxicating liquors to the detriment of health, morals, and social integrity. The objective we seek through a national policy is the education of every citizen towards a greater temperance throughout the nation." And then you could hear the crack as he opened up a can of Lineys, and that was it for Prohibition at that
yeah,
point.
Yeah, right. Except for Wisconsin. You guys just go nuts.
Yep, go for it. That's it. Let's see. Birthdays today include Canadian singer-songwriter Andy Kim.
Ooh.
He is 77 today and is best remembered for this little late 70s ditty. I'm really hoping there's a couple of people out there, you know, right now scaring their grandkids like, wow, you really know the lyrics to that, Grandma, the way you're belting that out, because
it's
the lyrics, they never leave.
It's never. It's our song between me and your grandfather.
When we during the all skate, you know. Yeah. Christian Yelich has a birthday today. Happy birthday! He is 32 years old.
Nice.
Jim Messina is 76. I always think of him as, you know, Loggins and Messina, half of that group. But before that, he was in Buffalo Springfield and Poco. But along with Kenny Loggins, he had this duet in the early 70s.
Your mama don't dance and your daddy don't rock and roll.
Just turn the kitchen into a dance floor for a few folks today.
If you can see the picture I'm looking at right now from this clip, there are no two men who look more of the 70s than Loggins and Messina, who actually they look like guys who probably live in Bayview and Milwaukee right now, too. I mean, that's just
it's funny how, you know, again, you don't see the gradual changes, but when you look, you know, at before and after,
yeah,
you know, like years apart,
yeah.
You go, wow, how did that happen? And the answer is slowly and gradually, but yep, it did happen. There was an auction held on this day in London in 1766. The auctioneer's name was James Christie, and Christie's auction house is still around, lo these many years. If you are a member of Phi Beta Kappa, happy anniversary to you. It was on this day in 1776 that the oldest academic honor society in the U.S. held its first meeting at the College of William and Mary. And on this day in 2012, the number one album was from Alicia Keys.
This girl is on fire. This girl is on fire.
Alicia Keys got her fifth number one on the Billboard Albums chart with Girl on Fire this day in 2012. A couple of other quick notes. The California Gold Rush kind of officially began this day in 1848 when President James K. Polk was making or sent a message to Congress confirming that large amounts of gold had been discovered in California. And if you're familiar with the AFL-CIO, it basically founded on this day in 1955 through the merger of the American Federation of Labor and the Congress of Industrial Organizations. Now, I mentioned at the top of the hour, and again, I mentioned Melissa Kate. She joins us tomorrow. I lost track of what day it is. Today is Tuesday. But Greg and I can properly handle the significance of this day.
I believe in us.
Yeah, with the comment from Roger was the first to tip us off, so I want to put this on here. He noted that the new Billboard 100 chart broke overnight, and so I looked up the link, and sure enough, the new number one song in America is from Brenda Lee. I'd seen a TV report about Brenda Lee, and she's still out there singing.
Oh, yes, she is.
65 years after this song first became a hit. But the song is now rewriting the record books as it tops the charts for the first time since it's been released.
Wow.
And it's Brenda Lee's first number one hit since 1960. Now, it's not... You go, how can this be? Well, it's because of the way that the Billboard Hot 100 is put together. It is all genre U.S. streaming,
yeah,
radio airplay, sales data of both physical singles and digital downloads. And so when you put all those together, obviously a lot of Christmas songs percolate up the charts here. You've got Bobby Helms' Jingle Bell Rock is, yep, on there. You've got Wham's Last Christmas is, nice, on the chart. Burl Ives is on the charts. Holly,
ooh,
Jolly Christmas.
Burly.
And Andy Williams, It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year. But there's Brenda Lee at the number one position. So
congratulations, Miss Lee.
Officially holiday season.
There we go.
Much more in our next hour when we visit with Hans Breitmoser about the Wisconsin Farmers Union annual meeting. That's next. You're up north.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Lofi's Holiday Sweepstakes is back. The Bakers of Country Hearth would like to put a little more jingle in your holiday this season by giving you a chance to win one of two $500 prizes, or the grand prize of $1,000. Winners will each receive a check that can be used for travel, gifts, or just celebrating with family and friends. Whatever makes your holiday more jolly. For complete rules and to enter for your chance to win, visit facebook.com/loafiesbread.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.